Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the show, The Politically Social, and I'm your host, Afia. Today we have with us Captain Rene O'Shaughnessy. Captain Rene served as a commercial airline pilot for over 34 years for a Fortune 50 company and captained Boeing 767, 757, 747, 727, and Airbus's 300 and 310, with over 10,000 hours of total heavy jet flight time logged. Notably, 34 years ago, Rene was one of the first women Boeing 747 qualified. Rene is the founder of Piloting to Wellbeing and recently co-found Aviation Health and Wellbeing Institute. Both organizations are founded on the premise that focus on providing a new vision of aviation safety, performance, and learning. Rene has over a decade of experience as a wellness strategist with a particular focus on mindfulness-based training. She is a visionary leader who brings a clear idea of how the future of mental health and performance in aviation should look. Captain Rene's mission is to help pilots and aviation students navigate the regulated system of aviation in order to keep them flying healthy. And her key focus is working on ensuring that aviation professionals know how to balance their physical and mental health, as well as take care of their nutrition and well-being. In 1997, Sweekly Chamber of Commerce honored her as the Citizen of the Year. Welcome, Rene.
Thank you, Afia. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about Piloting to Wellbeing and its mission.
Thank you. The idea of Piloting to Wellbeing, we like to call it P2W, came from an idea that I had. And that basically it was, what if the industry would reframe the way pilots were trained? What if we reframe the way we train pilots through the lens of humanity? But make no mistake, I realize that companies are in business to make profit, but I don't think that those two are mutually exclusive. So my hypothesis is that the building of well-being skills can positively improve the operational safety and efficiency by expanding skill sets of pilots. So I saw a new way of training the next generation of pilots through a more holistic lens.
And what exactly made you start both P2W and AHWI?
I founded P2W to provide a safe space for pilots and student pilots to access not only information, but resources. A safe place where pilots could share similar interests and experience, that they can reach out to others, perhaps that have walked their same walk. And I founded the Aviation Health and Wellbeing Institute to advance education and research. And by creating this 501c3, we'll be able to share our knowledge and our expertise in an educational setting.
And where do you see your organizations in the next 10 years?
Well, that's a very good question. I have big visions, that's for sure. But optimally, I see every aviation college and airline will have some type of relationship with either P2W or AHWI as a resource mm-hmm. for students and their pilots. I envision the Health and Wellness Institute as an industry think tank. What kind of health and safety that air members or air crew members should be striving for. You know, for example, the lack of, there are several areas that I think are very important when it comes to safety, and that is sleep. Sleep tops the list of safety issues. And conversely, the lack of sleep impacts every tissue and every organ in the body. And that impacts the performance of a pilot or a flight attendant or an ATC controller. The entire aviation needs to be reframed through the lens of more holistic training.
And that actually brings me to my next question, which is, What kind of health and safety hazards do air crew members, besides just pilots, face?
The role of an airline pilot is very unique. It requires a unique education on how to take care of their health as well as their mental health. From navigating home life to in the inherent pressures of the job, such as commuting, lack of nutrition when you're on the road, dehydration, time zone changes, sleeping in different beds, different pillows, different noises, disruptive sleep patterns, irregular work hours, sitting for long periods of time in the aircraft, dry air, lack of oxygen at high altitudes like hypoxia, excessive noise in the cockpit, exposures to solar and cosmic radiation, and basically the new added security checks at airports. These are all occupational hazards of an airline pilot and flight crews. And that all adds up to burnout and stress. And some either even experience anxiety and depression and isolation, especially through these COVID times. And we know certainly that over time, these hindrances accumulate and they compound.
Tell us more about some of the operational health risks that crew members or pilots face, besides just, the anxiety and the stress. Just what are the operational health risks that they have?
Well, like I said, on layovers, there's different pillows, different beds, different noises, disrupting sleep patterns, different food. We're lucky to get a hot meal every day, so we typically grab anything on the go, and that usually means processed foods. We all know that we need to eat more fruits and vegetables, but sometimes that is just impossible to do because we don't get that opportunity. And then in the airplane itself, hours are very long. We have irregular hours and we sit for long periods of time. And the oxygen in the airplane, it's different. It goes through an air filtering systems, and we're not sure how many times those air filtering systems get changed. And then we have exposure to solar and cosmic radiation. So those are the things that I have found in my 35 years in the cockpit that crew members, flight crews, and operational crew members that we struggle with physically and mental, not issues, but conditions.
And what about fatigue risk management? How important is that, and are pilots educated enough about it?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Afia. Fatigue risk management is a hot topic today in the airline industry, and it falls under the umbrella of safety management system. We call it SMS. And in the last 10 years, certain organizations have brought forth wellness information that talks about fatigue. However, not all organizations are equal. And let me explain that a little further. Aviation organizations fall under different categories. For example, there's Part 91, there's Part 141, Part 135, Part 121, and they all operate under a different rules and regulations. We call it certificates. And what that means is that depending on what certificate the organization operates under, the requirements are different to provide information such as fatigue to their pilots. So even though that information is very critical and useful to maintain safety, not all certificates require that topic to be brought to their flight crews or even to implement it into the schedule. It may be legal to operate in certain circumstances, meaning legal the regulations, but it may not be safe. A study of Air Force pilots have found that 94% percent reported performance that was degraded because of fatigue, and situational awareness was degraded by 73%, and an increased distractibility, 43%, increased distractibility. So fatigue really does impact performance, and in aviation, performance impacts safety.
And that's an excellent point. Do you think enough is done to ensure that pilots are mentally healthy?
No. I believe that organizations have to change the framework of how they do business through the lens, again, of humanity. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, I realize that they have to perform and make a profit, but the two are not mutually exclusive. So straight up, the answer is no, because right now, airlines, organizations, the airline industry are not doing enough to educate pilots on health and well-being. And conversely, I don't think organizations are doing enough to persuade the pilots and flight crews that they are trustworthy and move in the best interest of their flight crews. So frankly, I think a lot more needs to be done.
I agree. You know, not enough is being done to address these issues, which are primarily safety standards. Legalities is a different thing. Why do you think that lawmakers and even private airline companies, they're not able to do enough to ensure that their employees are doing well, both physically and mentally?
Well, that is a very complex question. It's not that they are not able to do enough to ensure their employees are doing well, both physically and mentally. It's a question of what are they willing to do? How much money are they willing to spend on physical and the mental well-being of their flight crews? You know, the FAA is the Federal Aviation Administration, and they are in charge of creating federal air aviation regulations known as FARs. FARs are rules that are prescribed by the FAA governing all aviation activities in the United States. They set the rules. But here's the thing. The world has changed, but not much has changed in aviation when it comes to those rules and regulations, especially pertaining to mental health in aviation. However, even though the future remains uncertain, I think there is reason to be hopeful. You see, major change takes time, but it all starts with the first step in the right direction. You know, I wrote a book, and it's called This Is Your Captain Speaking. And now that I've founded two organizations, these are very important parts of that step forward to guide this path, to guide the changes in the regulations. You know, on the other hand, you know, private AV or private airline companies, they are not inclined to monetarily invest in their pilots unless it's either mandated or by some chance, the CEO, it has to come from the top down. So the CEO has to have a buy-in into healthy pilots equals healthy airline. You know, for example, we all know that sleep, exercise, nutrition, and relaxation are important. And typically, the HR department offers information to employees to read about. But quite frankly, people could find that stuff on the internet. What pilots need is to feel that organizations, again, are trustworthy. What that means is that organizations need to provide usable evidence that they are trustworthy, and this is how we're going to do business. What that means is that they need to invest into the psychological safety of their pilots and their flight crews.
Right. And it's very good to know that there are organizations like PTW and AHWI that are going to advocate for something like this. I think it's very much needed. What kind of trauma and stress do pilots go through?
Well, pilots go through stress and trauma every single day, similar to the stress and trauma that everyone else experiences, because we're human. You know, we experience life stress such as, or stressors such as divorces, finances, teens, naughty teens, elderly parents, job losses, and the list just goes on and on. You know, we can't avoid stressors in life because that's life. It's on the spectrum, which impacts not only our physical health, but our mental health. The danger is when those stressors affects the continuum of that spectrum, and we continue experiencing those on a daily basis for a continued period of time. So our mental health, our mental struggles, which are normal in life, if they're not addressed, they can turn into mental illnesses.
What are the ways for aviation professionals to minimize stress?
There are many ways to minimize stress. Again, we can't eliminate stress, but we could minimize stress among aviation professionals. If I would give you a list of them, it would take up all of our time tonight. So I'll just talk about just a few things that we can do, or organizations can do to minimize stress. And that goes beyond just fitness centers and yoga centers. You know, they can create a culture of well-being.
Are there other nonprofits or organizations that have tried to address some of the above problems before? Or would you consider P2W and AHWIS first of their kind?
As far as I know, P2W and AHWI, we're the first. Now, the FAA has suggested recommendations, but again, they are not mandated. However, since publishing my book last year, Mental Health, I would like to think that my book was the catalyst, but the FAA has never worked that fast. So I'm sure it was in the makings anyway. But in the last year, mental health in aviation just has exploded, just exploded. So I think we're going to see changes. I just don't know when they'll come and at if they will be significant changes.
How does AHWI plan on addressing these issues for women specifically?
I love that question, because at AHWI, we envision and care about women being able to reach their full potential productively, as well as stepping into leadership roles in aviation. When women's rights suffer, it goes along with women's empowerment and the ability to contribute to aviation. Therefore, AHWI is helping women in aviation to advance in leadership and influence global affairs. That's our vision for women.
And that's very, very good to know. I hope you get all the support that you need for this. It's important that you know, we support women in the aviation industry especially. What exactly is aviation medicine, and what are some of the practical problems in aviation medicine?
Yeah, aviation medicine is pretty much a catch-all phrase, and it's considered a medical specialty that is concerned with the health and safety of humans in flight. So anything that has to do with humans in flight is under aviation medicine.
And what kind of work will AHWI or even P2W be doing in the field of aviation medicine?
Thank you for asking, because I just was I was just alerted through an email that I have been, my abstract was accepted to present at the Aerospace Medical Association. It's an annual scientific meeting. This year, it's going to be in New Orleans. And I will be presenting a performance-centered mental health and well-being curriculum for collegiate students. So I'm really excited about that for P2W. The theme this year at this conference is Aerospace for the Next Generation of Pilots. So P2W has put together a curriculum that I will be presenting at this scientific meeting. On a smaller scale though, AHWI, initiatives. We have many initiatives at AHWI, and our aim is to provide services and education to not only pilots and student pilots that have been fortunate to have formal educational training, but to others who otherwise would not have access to these types of modules and education and well-being curriculum.
And congratulations on on your abstract. Definitely, I think that will be something excellent, and we would all want to hear the presentation. Do you think the aviation industry needs a new approach while addressing health and occupational hazards?
Absolutely. The public has to demand that government and industry both need to reframe, again, how it does business. You know, we hypothesize that the building of the well-being skills can positively improve operational safety and efficiency by expanding the skill of pilots. This is a consumer issue. This is a safety issue. And I believe that the public has to, this isn't a scare. This is just more of a consumer alert.
And what kind of support from various other professionals and organizations will help your organization grow and achieve their goals?
Well, you know, even though we're talking about pilots and aviation, these programs are very transferable. It could apply to lawyers and doctors and school teachers, anyone who has a high performance, and especially a male-dominated industry. But besides all that, what we really need now are the support of grants, which will give us the financial support that we need to move this pathway forward.
Right, right. And I hope that, you know, you're successful in your endeavors. Thank you for joining us today. And we really urge our listeners to support Captain Rennie's cause and her mission wholeheartedly in the best way you can. We truly need professionals like Renee to help our youth and to help the aviation industry as a whole. Thank you, Captain.
Thank you very much, Afia.